For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now what I'm supposed to do when I first get up here, quote a bunch of scripture. That's the only one I know, so I have to start there. Didn't Pastor do a good job of that song? Thank you, Brother Weaver. I thought he was going to sing another song. I had formatted all the things I was going to say about the song that he sung. You messed me up. But there are a few things could be said about the amazing grace of God. And don't we all stand amazed? Amazed at who he is. Amazed at what he's done. Get my notes separated here. Heard about this fellow that was always preached from notes, but his sermons were still as dry as could be. One day, back in the country, didn't have air conditioning. The windows were open. A puff of wind came and took his sermon and blew it right out the window. A cow got a hold of it and ate it. She went dry. Now that's dry. I want to share with you a couple of things I thought were very interesting about bloopers in church bulletins. You've heard a lot of them, and you may have heard all of these, but if so, please laugh again. It bothers me when people don't laugh at my jokes, whether it's original or whether I'm reading it. I've only got a couple, so... I like this one. Recently, Brother Weaver preached on, in the morning, Jesus walking on the water. And he said, my sermon subject tonight is searching for Jesus. Come on, get it. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. And bring your husbands. I love this and said, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Well, here's my favorite. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Yes, maybe you could find them. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Now, this is a typographical error. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. And just in case you have someone that you want to give an offering in memory of, please place your donation in the envelope, along with the deceased person you want to remember. Pretty big envelope, huh? The church will be hosting an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. I don't know who wrote this. The ladies of the church are casting off clothing of every kind. Or the ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. I think I better stop with that one, don't you? I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? And I think it's all right to laugh, don't you? If you can't laugh, God have mercy on your dried up soul. A merry heart, quote it for me, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Who said that? Some famous person. I read it in a book somewhere one time. Amen. Yes. But if you don't go around all the time with grandpa's religion, a long face and drawn out, sorrow drieth the bones. If you have your bones get too dry, we may have to call Ezekiel. See if we can get those bones back together. You know what happened when Ezekiel prophesied to the bones? The foot bone was connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone connected to the backbone. The bones got up and walked around. You ever hear that old song? Oh, Lord have mercy. But anyhow, that's not what I was going to preach on tonight. I want us to think tonight about the subject of what time is it. I'm not talking about 6:30. What time is it? The Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season and a time to everything under heaven. It enumerates a lot of them. There's a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, the time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal, the time to break down, the time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, yeah, there it is again, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war, a time of peace. I was having things as I was reading that verse. It said, a time to speak and a time to keep silence. About this preacher that was always like for his wife to compliment him on his messages. But this one time when he thought he had really rang the bell, she didn't say a word. So on the way home, he said, how'd you think about what you liked about the message? That's fine. No, come on, tell me what you think about it. No, it's okay. He said, now, I know you can be, he said, what do you really think? She said, well, I noticed you missed several good opportunities to stop. Which reminds me, I had a young lady tell me tonight, she said, Brother Phipps, said, I've been listening to singing and preaching all afternoon. Please make it short tonight. I think she's afraid she's going to get over religious. And another message, another scripture that I'll be making some reference to. James says, whereas we know not what should be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And Romans says that knowing the time, now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Our life is a measure of time. We say, what is time? I never will forget one of my professors in school emphasized it over and over, said that time is simply an island in the sea of God's eternity. Now you think about that for a while. Time is an island in the sea of God's eternity. Time began with man and it'll end with man. God is not regulated and governed by time. We are concerned about time. But our life, my individual life, is an island in the sea of that time. There hadn't always been a Glenn Phipps. Too bad. World been a lot better off if they had been. There hadn't always been a Glenn Phipps, and there won't always be a Glenn Phipps. Now I know that'll cause some real grieving. After a couple of years, I say, Glenn, who? My life, your life, is simply an island in the sea of time. It began when you were born, and it's going to end one day. At your death or at the rapture. But our life is not forever on this earth. Strange as it may seem, after we're gone, the world will keep on turning. Things will keep happening. Politicians will still be talking. But we have our plans made. All of us do. We have our plans made, and we're going to live to see those plans come to fruition. We know what we're going to do tomorrow, or the next day, or next week. I've got my plans made. Lord willing, this week I'm going to be getting ready to be gone the next week. I just got back from a trip, but I don't know, I'm built backwards, I guess. A lot of people say it's time for me to get off the road, and I'm just now getting on the road, seems like. But I've got, next Sunday I plan to be in up in Paris, Texas, not the other Paris. Dr. Barber will be preaching, I'll be singing. And then the latter part of that week, I'll be down in Louisiana. And the next week, I'll be in Tennessee. And the next week, a couple of weeks maybe, I plan to be on Ohio. And it's just whichever way the wind blows is where I go. But we've got our plans made. But how many of us make plans without asking one simple question? Dear Lord, what's your plan for me? Reminds me of the fellow that was walking down the road one day, going to, or riding down the road with his horse and wagon. He was going to market. Passed this man's house, and he said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to town. He said, I'm going to market. I'm going to sell my produce. And I'm going to come back home. He said, these are things I've raised, and I'm going to go sell them. He said, you shouldn't say that. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord's willing. He said, the Lord didn't have anything to do with it. I planted the crop. I cultivated the land. I took care of the crop while they're growing. I harvested the crop. They're mine. I'm going to go sell them. And that's it. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord will it. So he went on. A few hours, he came back by. He looked like he'd been run over with an 18-wheeler. Wagon was tore up. His clothes were about torn off of him. He had bruises and cuts all over him. He said, what in the world happened? He said, I fell among a bunch of thieves down there. He said, they robbed me, just about killed me. Tore my clothes off of me, about killed my horse, tore up my wagon. Awful. He said, what you going to do now? He said, the Lord willing, I'm going back home. We ought to say, the Lord willing. Because what is our life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. 83 years? Not hardly, next month. But it's passed so swiftly. And I'm still here. Yes, to everything there's a season. What? We don't know about tomorrow. For what is our life? It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. You and I don't have much time left. Someone said that the important thing that we do in life is how we live our dash. You know what the dash is? That's the thing between the time of your birth and the time of your death, written on the tombstone. But how did he live his dash? How am I living my dash? How are you going to live your dash? Well, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, God, delighteth in his way. Do I want men to look at my life and pat me on the back? Or would I rather wait till I get the glory and hear the Lord say, "Well done"? Give me that. Give me the "well done." If I'm never known by any man, recognized by any man, praised by any man, give me that. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And incidentally, God is not going to say "well done" to just everybody. Do you know that? You know what it's going to take for God to say "well done" to you? It's for you to do well. Every day of our lives, we need to begin our lives by saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" The steps of a good man. Somebody's talking about my travel. I said, "Don't you dread those long trips?" I said, "No, it's just a mile long. And then the next mile." You got to begin every journey with the first step. You got to begin every journey with the first mile. If we sit and worry about all of this total distance, we'll get so tired before we ever leave home, we won't even leave. But we don't need to think about that. Think about the next step. Lord, order my next step. Help me to step in the direction and plant my feet in the place where you want me to be. And we don't just happen overnight to be what God wants us to be and where God wants us to be. We are today what we have been becoming over our lives. We're like a gigantic computer. Things have been put into our lives by others, and that has made us what we are today. You know, when I stand up here, I can't quote scripture like Dr. Barber. I'm just not built that way. I'm not programmed that way. I can't get up here and preach like Dr. Weaver. I don't know if anybody else that can. That's not me. You know, the fellow that I am, the guy that I shave every few mornings. I don't like to shave every day. But I saw me one time, and I didn't like what I saw. I don't want to be what I am. I want to be what God wants me to be. You used to hear these people talk about give 110%, give 110%. And I thought, that's great. What is 110%? I don't know, really. In the natural sense, I don't know. But I know what 110% is in the spiritual realm, or 120%, or 150%. You know what that is? You know what 100% is? It's doing all I can do. But if I let the Lord take over, it could be 110%. And that other 10% is not me. That first 100% really is not me if I've got to let him in control. And how much more over 100% I go depends in proportion to how much I allow him to direct my steps and control my thoughts and direct my paths. I believe man can do more than man can do if he lets God in control. There's only a certain amount that we can do, but what is the limit if the person yields himself? You got to be politically correct. Or herself. I don't like that. I just rather say himself and let you all understand what I'm talking about. Any question what I'm saying? I think we ought to just do our best. But realize that our best is not enough. And ask the Holy Spirit to take us and empower us and use us to be what He wants us to be. And we don't need to be praying, Lord, fill us with your power, fill us with your power. We need to say, Lord, fill us with yourself. The Holy Spirit take control of my life. And if the Holy Spirit takes control of my life, then I have that power. I have that wisdom. I have that ability. I can do more if He is in control of my life. But with me, I can do what I can do without prayer. But I can do what God can do with prayer. And what can God do? Who was it said it's yet to be seen what could be accomplished by a man who's totally committed to the Lord? Oh, I want to be that man. Totally committed. That God might have His will and His way. The Christian life is to be a life of growth. We can never say we've arrived. We can never say we've reached it. We need to always be striving. Apostle Paul, good example. He said, no, I have not attained. But he said, I'm still working at it. Daily. 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 And he said, I'm working at it with such fervor and such intent. The thing that scares me is after having preached to others that God could cast me away. He said, I don't want that. But he said, I want to know Him and the power of His fellowship. Power of His resurrection. Being made conformable to Him. Not transformed to be like the world, but be changed from the world to be like unto Him. Allow Him to have control of our lives, to use us the way He wants to use us. Our steps are to be ordered by the Lord. Peter says, but as newborn babes, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word. We are to grow in grace. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, saying that the Christian life begins on the milk of the word, and then it goes on to the meatier things of the word. He says in Hebrews, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. God intends for us to grow and mature. How tragic it would be. And you maybe have seen persons like this who are several years into this life and yet physically and mentally they're not. It's a sad thing. None of us want our children to be that way. But how often, church, how often we see people saved and we just abandon them. We don't take it upon ourselves to disciple them and encourage them and help them to be strengthened in the things of the Lord. Whose job is that? It's the preacher's job. It's right. You know who you are? You're the preacher. It's not the pastor's job. He sets an example. He shows us how. But he can't do all of it. We've got to be preachers also. And I'm not talking about ordained. We've been ordained. He has appointed us that we would go and bring forth fruit. You know what? Every Christian ought to be a part of the seek and rescue squad. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said to us, He says, the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So we're to be part of that seek and rescue squad. We're to go out and find the lost and compel them to come in that the Lord's house might be full, that they might get under the sound of the gospel, that they might be saved and be part of the family of God. It's our task. Our life is to grow. How long have you been saved? Where are you in your stage of Christian life? You've been saved a year. Are you showing the average growth for a Christian for a year? What is the average growth for a Christian pew? I don't know. But I know we're supposed to grow, and it depends on how, what we've been exposed to and what the teaching has been. I've never heard a teaching pastor like this man. He teaches us and tells us and shows us. And I praise God for our church. But the life is to begin with growing. The Bible even tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. It said concerning Timothy, Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Parents, we have a responsibility. Older Christians, we have a responsibility. We are to teach and to train those that are under us. We are to disciple the new Christians. We are to help build them up in the faith. We are to grow and grow and grow until finally we can say, I have arrived. When will that be? When you get to glory. And when you get to glory, you won't say it. You'll just be rejoicing because you have arrived there. But Christian life is to continue to grow. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We began our growth after we're born. We continue our growth until we reach physical maturity. We begin our spiritual life when we're born again. I saw this sign from a church the other day. Said, if being born didn't make you happy, try being born again. I like that. So that's when life begins for a child of God, is when we're born again. I'm not really 83. I'm only about 74. That's how old I am in spiritual life. Life begins. But I'm glad I didn't stop growing. I'm glad that I was challenged and I was fed the Word of God until I could take the Word of God myself and study and grow. I know who I am. I've looked in the mirror. And I've seen God use me. And I like that better than what I see when I look in the mirror. I want to be used of God. And I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know where I came from. I came from Tennessee. If you don't go with me sometime, I'll take you and show you where I came from. Poorest county in the state of Tennessee, probably. And my area was probably the poorest. Grundy County. Got some wonderful people back there. But we've got some people that love the Lord. You can travel around over that county, and you won't find a Baptist church on every corner like you do here. But you'll find a Methodist church in every community, known as the Congregational Methodist Church. And I thank God for the Congregational Methodist people. That's where I got saved. That's where I began to grow. There's a Congregational Methodist Church back there in Trace City I've preached in. I sing in. Every time I go back there, they want me to do something every time I come. I refuse to clean the toilets, so they let me do something else. But listen, we Baptists are not the only people that preach the gospel. If we had been, I wouldn't have got saved. There wasn't any Baptists around where I was. But I thank God that I began my life not by becoming a Methodist and not by becoming a Baptist, but by becoming a child of God. I was born again into the family of God. And my growth began. And now, more than ever, I want to be transformed to be like Him. I didn't think I'd ever get out of Grundy County as far as I was concerned. I thought, man, if I can just make it to the top and become a county agent, that's in the agricultural field, that's where I wanted to be. I thought, man, if I can reach that, I'll be happy as can be. God said, I don't think so. That's not what I've got for you. And so I didn't become county agent. I'm talking about doing all we can and letting our steps be ordered by the Lord and realizing what time it is and what we need to do. I didn't become county agent, in case you didn't know. But God took me out of Grundy County. God took me out of Tennessee. God took me out of the United States. God's taken me several different places, given me far more than I could ever accomplish on my own. Mike Patterson didn't stay in Chattanooga. Not Chattanooga, Fort Worth. I get mixed up where I am. But God has taken him all over the world. God is accomplishing through that man sitting there far more than Mike Patterson could have ever accomplished. It's more than 100%, more than 110%, more than 200%. God has taken him and multiplied him and used him all over the world. Brother Willie Weaver didn't stay in Louisiana. God took him out of there. He's probably said many times, "Thank you, Lord." Louisiana's a good state. Don't you knock it. I'll be down there next week preaching. I mean singing. It's a great state. But we can do more than we're doing if we will let him have control of our lives and grow in the things of God. Mature in the things of God. But don't ever reach maturity, because when you do, you're not fit to kill. We need to continue to grow and strive to be more. I have said, you've heard me say, I want to be everyone's student. I want to learn from you. I want to benefit from knowing you and being around you and being with you. I want you to have positive influence in my life. I'm going to listen and try to learn something from you. And while I'm doing that, I pray that God will allow me to be somebody's teacher. I have a responsibility more than what I realize, but I want to be somebody's teacher. I want God to use me. We begin our lives in the springtime when we get born, when we grow, the summertime when we mature. But that's, God doesn't intend for us to stop there. He wants us to go on to reaping, bearing fruit. He says in John, he said, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Allow God to purge you and nurture you and chastise you and move you up into the place he wants you to be, so that you can bear the much fruit that he's talking about. And then, thank God, after the fruit bearing, there comes a blessed harvest time. Aren't you glad for that? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Do you know anything about harvesting in the natural sense? In harvesting a garden, or harvesting the fruit off of the trees, or harvesting the wheat out of the fields? Harvest is a beautiful time. It's a time of rejoicing. And when we start gathering the things, the seed, the plants, the fruit that God has. Oh, what a time of rejoicing. I like to see people walk the aisles and get saved. I like it better if I'm the one that leads them to the Lord in their home, witnessing to people wherever we go. Harvest time is fast approaching. In fact, I believe we are in the harvest time now, and the harvest is going to soon be over. How much are we going to be able to gather for His glory? Time is swiftly passing by. For what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. What should we do when we come to the years that we can't plant anymore, we can't cultivate anymore, we can't harvest anymore? We become red carnation wearers. Our abilities are not what they used to be. But I wish I had time to dwell upon this thought at length, but I don't. Every one of us, I don't care if we wear one carnation or two carnations or whatever, every one of us can be involved in intercessory prayer. You know what intercessory prayer is? Intercessory prayer is standing in for someone else, praying for others, agonizing for others, interceding for others, weeping over others. And that's one thing that we miss in our churches, is tears. God help us to desire to come back to the time that we can weep over the souls of men, to weep over the sins of the world. I like reading the prophets, and Daniel especially, have been studying him and how he pours out his heart to God for the sins of the people. He's not talking about his sin, he's talking about the sin of the people. We need to be so involved that we would do the same thing for our church, for our nation. Lord, we have sinned. We have drifted. We've grown cold. And pray and agonize in prayer with God that God might do something, that God might move on the scene. And when Christians pray, God begins to work. And incidentally, God can't without our prayer. God's hands are tied until we pray. God wants to do something for this nation, but He begins by saying, if my people, we've got a thing to do before God can do. When it comes to lost people, we've got something to do before God can do. Our lost loved ones are bound in sin. The strong man holds them. They can't get away. They don't even know they're lost. They don't even know they're bound. They don't even know they're blinded. And God can't do anything until we pray. We agonize in prayer for them and for their souls, and for God to intervene and for God to break the strongholds of Satan. And it works a whole lot better if everybody's praying for the same thing, that we might see souls walk down the aisle. Not every week, but every service. See, the baptismal water stirred not once a week, but every service. And daily in the temple and from house to house. Oh, may God help us to realize that we have a tremendous responsibility. And since today is Senior Citizens Day, seniors, let me mention to you, let me somehow see if I can lay this on us. That we, the members of this church that are carnation wearers, we have a tremendous responsibility that the young people are not going to fulfill. They've got other things on their mind. They're busy at other things. They're not going to get involved in this the way we could and the way we should, and I pray the way that we will. So that the pastor, every time he stands He'll have the Spirit of God empowering him and the unction from God upon him. Every time the choir stands to sing, every time Brother Johnson leads them, that he and they might be filled with the Spirit of God and used by God, so that it'll be not 100% of his ability and the choir's ability, but what they can do yielded to God. And then our hearts can rejoice even more than what we do. So we need to be yielded to this matter of intercessory prayer for the Sunday school teachers, for the workers of the youth department and the children's department, praying that God might intervene, because we need more than what we can do. We need more than what we can give. We need more than... We've got to pray before God can do anything. But when we pray, God will begin to work. God will move, and we'll sense the presence and the power of Almighty God. With heads bowed and eyes closed. What time is it? No, I'm not talking about 5 minutes after seven. I'm talking about what time is it in your life? Knowing the time, we need to wake up. What time is it for you? Dear friend, have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior? If not, God wants it to be springtime in your life. God wants to reach down and save you, bring you into the family of God by the power of the Spirit of God. If you've never been saved, I trust tonight that you'll say, Brother Phipps, I want to be part of this family of God. I want to so live for him and grow in the things of God and serve him that one day he can say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But first of all, you've got to begin this life. You've got to begin by being born again. And he's here tonight. He'll save you if you'll call upon him. God has made it so simple that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no age limit. There's no age requirement. There's no nationality involved. There's no price put on it. For whosoever. What time is it in your life, Christian? I know that we could all be in the agonizing part of our lives of praying for others. What God can do in this church is far more than you and I can do. It's far more than the preacher can do. God wants to do what he's capable of doing, and he will when his people pray. If you've never been saved, I pray that you'll come. And Christian, where are you in your spiritual maturity? Where are you in your soul winning? Where are you in your dedication to God? Let's stand together. Our Father, my prayer is that you would do what you want to do. Not what I want, not what the pastor wants, but what you want to do. There's people in this building tonight that need to come and be saved. There's people in this building tonight that need to come and rededicate their lives, realizing, Lord, that we're not doing all we could do. We could do more if we just yield to thee completely. Every avenue of our life, every part of our life, every hour of our lives. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to realize what time it is. Our time is running out. Our time is short. Our years of this physical life, yes, they're passing away, but we're growing closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. We're letting young people slip away from us. We need to be busy reaching young people while they're still young people, while they're still children, boys and girls, training them, bending the twig the way it ought to grow, training them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's our responsibility. Lord, let us be busy in the springtime, in the growth time, so that we can be busy in the harvest time and save the lost tonight. Have your way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name.